Tonight we conclude our series on the unusual events that took place upon Jesus' death at the cross. That's in Matthew 27, and there we're going to consider verses 52 and 53. Now we've read that section several times, so in that connection, especially with the verses we consider tonight, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there we will read the first 23 verses. 1 Corinthians 15, the first 23 verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, that I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so we believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if it be so that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. That's our scripture reading tonight, at least from 1 Corinthians. Now let's turn to Matthew 27, and let's read verses 50 through 54, through 53. Matthew 27, 50 through 53. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And now, these two verses are the text for tonight. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. That's the verses, those are the verses we'll consider tonight. As we've noticed, in our short series, three unusual events took place at the moment of Jesus' death. There was the rending of the veil in the temple from the top to the bottom. There was the violent earthquake that tore apart the hillside around Jerusalem. And then there was the opening of the graves of many. And subsequently, the resurrection of many saints who then appeared in Jerusalem. These events Matthew would have us to behold. That's how he begins this. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent. Behold, the earth did quake. Behold, the graves were opened. Matthew would draw our attention to these things because they are obviously signs that point us to our salvation. And because of their timing, teach us that the salvation to which these things point are connected directly to the death of Jesus on the cross. Through these three events, the rending of the veil, the violent earthquake, and then the resurrection of many saints, we are taught the meaning and significance of Jesus' death on the cross. Tonight, we consider the last of these three events, the opening of the graves, the resurrection of many saints that slept. Perhaps of the three mentioned here by Matthew, this is the most unusual and amazing. What an astounding thing it was for that priest to observe that huge veil in the temple to be torn from the top to the bottom. And as the report of that spread through Jerusalem, what wonder! What amazement, what questions. More so, the violent earthquake that tore apart the countryside. But now this is the climax. The graves of many are opened. And many of the saints arose and appeared to many in Jerusalem. Behold, says Matthew, we deal with this particular incident of the resurrection of many saints properly tonight on the day of Jesus' resurrection. Yes, this is connected to Good Friday. Obviously, those saints arose on the basis of the perfect work of atonement Jesus had accomplished for them and for the church by his death on the cross. But the other side is that their resurrection was a resurrection to glory. A resurrection of which Jesus' resurrection is the first fruits. And that's why we consider that tonight. I call your attention to the resurrection of many saints. We notice, first of all, the fact of their resurrection. Secondly, the nature of their resurrection. Finally, the significance of their resurrection. There is a question concerning the order of events here. Essentially, there are three elements in what's listed here by Matthew. First of all, the opening of the graves as a result of that earthquake. Then there was the resurrection of the bodies of many saints whose graves had been opened. And the third element is the appearance of these resurrected saints to many in the holy city of Jerusalem. Now the question arises, when did these events take place? Before or after Jesus' resurrection? Obviously, something took place after Jesus' resurrection, because we read that phrase, many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and appeared unto many, went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Nevertheless, the fact that this incident is recorded in connection with Jesus' death and the tearing of the veil and the rending of the rocks indicate that some of these things took place before his resurrection. So let's begin with the first one mentioned here, the opening of the graves. That can be established that this took place immediately upon Jesus' death. The opening of the graves around Jerusalem was obviously caused by the devastating, violent earthquake that shook the whole region. Let's remember that these graves were not the graves of which we think, holes dug into the ground with caskets lowered into vaults. These were rather sepulchres, tombs, that in many cases were carved out of the hills, cave-like tombs. And therefore, when the violent earthquake tore apart the countryside, at the moment of Jesus' death, the graves of many were exposed. The more difficult question is, when did the bodies of these saints arise and come out of the graves and enter into the holy city and appear unto many? And the answer hinges on what here modifies after his resurrection. There are some who say that after his resurrection explains when these saints came out of their graves and when they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That's what happened after the resurrection. At the moment of Jesus' death, when the graves were opened, then also we read the saints, the many bodies of the saints which slept arose. That took place right after Jesus' death. Others say, no, after the resurrection is to be tied in with everything else except the exposing of these bodies in the grave. It was after the resurrection that many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And at that time, they also came out of the graves and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So the real difference is, when did these bodies of the saints arise? Come to life? Immediately after Jesus' death or after his resurrection? You can make a list of pretty impressive Bible commentators to take both sides. It appears to me more likely that the resurrection of these saints took place after Jesus' resurrection. Notice from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, "Now is Christ risen and become the first fruits of them that slept. But each one in his own order. First Christ, then others." That whole concept brings us back to the Jewish feasts, the Passover. That took place at the beginning of the small grain harvest in Palestine. The people of God were to bring the first sheaf of the barley harvest, which was the first of a 50-day harvest. And that was the first fruits. They were to bring that to the temple as a wave offering. That really represented the whole harvest. And by bringing that first fruits to the temple of God, they were in effect saying that this first fruit represented the whole harvest, and they were acknowledging that God had given them the harvest, that they were thankful for the harvest, but it also carried with it the idea that that first fruit, that first sheaf, guaranteed the whole harvest. And now that concept is applied to Jesus' resurrection. He is risen as the first fruits, indicating more resurrections are going to come. There's going to be a whole harvest of resurrections, exactly like His. In fact, His resurrection guarantees the resurrection of all that belong to Him. That's the idea there. It would seem rather strange then, wouldn't it, if these saints whose bodies were exposed and their graves opened arose prior to the resurrection of Jesus on Sunday. If you look at this text in the original, the grammar of it can be explained. You can explain it either way. But the very thought and reality, Jesus is risen as the first fruits, strongly suggests first Jesus arose, then these others. And so on the basis of this, we understand the following to have taken place. On Friday, the graves were opened, exposing the corpses that had been laying within them. It was not just the graves of various saints that were opened, but graves generally around Jerusalem were opened by this earthquake. And these graves remain opened for the rest of Friday. Remember, Jesus died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Darkness was coming on soon. These graves remained opened for Friday. And then the next day, the Jewish Sabbath day, probably plans to reseal the graves were already in the making. Then on Sunday, sometime after Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus' resurrection didn't wait necessarily until the women came and discovered the grave was empty. It could have been a few moments after the beginning of the Jewish Sabbath day, which was sundown. But sometime after Jesus' resurrection, the bodies of many saints whose graves had been opened, arose. Which saints arose? We'd like to know that, wouldn't we? Some suggest that they were saints who recently died. Simeon, Anna, Joseph, Jesus' own legal father, who obviously had died sometime after Jesus was 12 when they were in the temple in Jerusalem and before his public ministry. You never read of Joseph anymore after that. Others suggest they were the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, other Old Testament greats. We don't know. This is one of those many times when the Lord doesn't satisfy our curiosity. Because the important thing is not who they were personally, but that they arose as saints and they were recognized by those in Jerusalem, and there were many of them. These saints came out of the graves on Sunday and went into the holy city, appearing unto many. Again, we're not informed. To whom did they appear? We're not told. Did they preach or not? Did they have something to say? Interestingly, when Jesus appeared 10 times, he just didn't show himself. He actually proclaimed the gospel of the resurrection. It's very likely these saints did too. But we're not told that. We are told simply that they went into the holy city, suggesting that they went to the very temple itself, and they appeared to many. How amazing this was. The rending of the veil of the temple. That was astounding. This violent earthquake. That was terrifying. Now this. Amazing. And amazing, especially if we understand the nature of the resurrection of these many saints. One of two possibilities exists. Their resurrections were either patterned after that of Lazarus, who had been raised by Jesus a month before this, and others raised before this. It was either patterned after that resurrection, or it was patterned after Jesus' resurrection. Bear in mind, those resurrections were not the same. Let's look at the resurrection of Jesus, of Lazarus. We believe, on the basis of Scripture, that when the saints of God die, their souls are taken immediately to be with God in glory. That was almost surely not the case with Lazarus. He was dead for 4 days. His body was interred in the sepulcher. It was starting to rot. The stench of death came wafting out of the open sepulcher when Jesus and Mary and Martha and others went to open the grave. And Jesus called forth, "Lazarus, Lazarus, come out." And he did. But you see, Lazarus' resurrection was only a return. He went into that grave, flesh and blood, of the earth earthy, and that's how he came out. He went into the grave with a corruptible, mortal body. It could die. In death, it would perish and disintegrate. And that's the body that he came out with. And there he was, and he resumed his life back in Bethany. And then sometimes later, he died again. And so in that connection, I also suggest, and it's commonly held, that in those cases, his soul did not go to heaven. How could he go to heaven and then have to come back and live even a short time or years on this earth? But the important thing is, it was simply a return. The resurrection hadn't changed him. Not true with the resurrection of Jesus. When he died, 3 o'clock on the Passover Friday, his soul was taken immediately to be with God in glory. Didn't he say to the repentant thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise"? And then he said the last words, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," or my soul. And his body was brought by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to the grave. And when he was raised, yes, his body was rejoined to the soul, but his body was changed. His body was changed. The grave was empty. It became apparent that there was something different about his resurrection. And the circumstances around them and the teaching of scriptures tell us that his resurrection was an advancement forward. It was an advancement forward into glory. Through the resurrection, Jesus' body was transformed from earthly and physical flesh and blood to a spiritual body fit for heaven. And that which was mortal and corruptible and put in the grave was raised with immortality, not able to die, no longer perishable. What a glorious resurrection. And for that reason, Jesus ascended to heaven 40 days after his death. He didn't belong here in the body anymore. He belonged in heaven. He stayed around here long enough in his glorified heavenly body to appear 10 times to his disciples to teach them about the resurrection. But he didn't belong here. Now the question is, what was the nature of the resurrection of these saints whose graves were opened, who arose, went into the holy city, and appeared unto many? The key is, they appeared. They appeared unto many. Jesus also, after his resurrection, appeared to his disciples 10 different times. And he had to appear because he could not be ordinarily seen with the earthly physical eye. His body was heavenly. Couldn't be seen by the physical eye. It was not restrained by physical barriers. He had to appear. So also did these saints, in their resurrected state, appear unto many in Jerusalem. And they had to appear because they could not ordinarily be seen with the physical eye. They too had been raised with a heavenly body, glorified even as that of Christ. What a glorious resurrection this was! The resurrection of Lazarus and others that we explained a moment ago was certainly glorious. But its glory was diminished by the fact that it was only a return to this earth, to this death, to this corruption, and they had to suffer death all over again. That greatly diminished the glory of those resurrections. But the resurrection of these saints, as was also the resurrection of Jesus, was much more glorious. Raised unto eternal life, never more to die, raised into immortality, given bodies that were fit no longer for the earth, but for heaven itself, to be made like unto the glorious body of Jesus Christ. That's glorious indeed. And consequently, they must have also then been glorified and brought into heaven. They're not still around here, just like Jesus is not around here anymore. He didn't belong here. So 40 days later, he was taken up into heaven in his heavenly risen body. Evidently, these saints followed him. Followed him. With their resurrected bodies into heaven. Now that brings up some very interesting questions. Again, the Bible doesn't bother to tell us. But we're going to have to wait till we get to heaven to find out. In heaven, you have the souls of those who lived in Christ and died in Christ. Whether it's in the Old Testament and they lived in the faith of His, by faith in the promise of His coming, or whether they're from the New Testament, that they lived by faith in the accomplished work of Christ. They're there in the soul. But Jesus is there with a glorified body and soul. And so are these saints. And rather interestingly, so is Enoch. And so is Elijah. They were taken body and soul into heaven. Is there glory in heaven throughout these ages of history greater than those who are there simply in the soul? Don't know. How do you understand that? I don't know. If we pass on before the Lord returns, we'll find out. We'll find out. Rather interesting question. But these saints are in heaven, as are Enoch and Elijah, with heavenly bodies, like unto the glorious body of Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the significance of the resurrection. The resurrection of these saints is the fruit of Jesus' death on the cross. That's obvious from the timing. As soon as Jesus died on the cross, gave up the Spirit, could say, "It is finished. I've taken upon myself the full punishment of sin. I've done my work here in my humiliation." The graves of these saints were opened by a violent earthquake. And 3 days later, after Jesus' resurrection, these saints are raised from the graves, glorified to appear in the holy city. Obviously, their resurrections are connected to Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus' crucifixion brought about these resurrections because by his crucifixion, he overcame death. Death for himself and death for them. The wages of sin is death. That's why we are all dying. And all of us will die the physical death unless Christ comes sooner. And that's why Jesus had to die. Not because of sin of his own, but because of your sin and my sin and the sins of God's elect church. His name Jesus, as we pointed out Friday night, teaches us that he will save his people, from their sins. All that the Father had given to him, all the elect of God were given to him. Their sins and the guilt of their sin was laid upon Jesus. He stood before God as our representative, as the sinner. And so the vials of God's wrath and the horror of his punishment came upon Jesus all his life long, but especially at the cross. And Jesus endured it all to the very last bitter end so that he could say, "It is finished." And he walked in a perfect obedience for us before the face of God and obtained for us thereby a perfect righteousness, not just for us, but first of all for himself, but then also all those who are connected to him by God's eternal decree. Death, therefore, can no longer hold a claim, not over Jesus, not over those who belong to him. Jesus has the right to eternal life. So does everyone for whom he gave his life. That's why Jesus was raised the third day. His death demanded it. And that's why also these saints arose as well. And their resurrection looks ahead to the resurrection, finally, of all of God's people. Not all of the saints of God were raised at that time. Not all the Old Testament saints were raised. Many. But in comparison to the total number of God's people in the Old Testament, just a few. And remember, we're still in the Old Testament at this time. The New Testament, the New Covenant era, doesn't begin until Pentecost, 50 days later. None of them are raised in this incident. But there will come a day when those two, the Old Testament saints, those in the New Testament era, will be raised. At the end of the world, when Jesus comes in the cloud of glory, amazing, all those in the grave shall hear his voice, just like Lazarus heard his voice. Lazarus, come forth! All in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, that's not our concern right now. But those that have done good and who stand in the righteousness of Christ unto the resurrection of life. And the saints will participate in the same resurrection unto glory. This mortal, laid in the grave, will be raised to immortality. This earthly, physical, will be raised to the heavenly and spiritual to be fit to live forever in perfection in a new creation. This miracle of the resurrection of many saints guarantees that. Actually, Jesus' resurrection guarantees that. He died as our representative. He was raised as our representative. He was raised as the first fruits, meaning there's going to be a whole harvest of resurrections to come. First Jesus, then ours. And His resurrection is the guarantee of the full harvest. And if you doubt that, then look at these saints called out of the grave at the moment, called out of the grave in connection with Jesus' resurrection. They look ahead to the full harvest. Full harvest guaranteed in the cross, guaranteed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us therefore cling to the cross daily to lay hold by faith of Jesus' perfect work, not our own work and His work alone. And then let us be assured that the same atoning death that demanded His resurrection, that brought about the resurrection of these many saints, will also bring about one day our resurrection unto honor and glory. In that hope and confidence, let us live, let us bury our dead, let us face death ourselves, and look forward to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear God and Father, thanks for the word brought to us tonight. Thanks for this great miracle which confirms our faith in the resurrection, not only of Jesus, but also in the power of His resurrection to accomplish a glorious resurrection for us. Give us peace and comfort. Let us live. And give us faith, O God, to live always in the shadow of the cross, clinging to our risen Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.